Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, let me ask you a question. You want to be the first pick in the draft?
Yeah,
I do. Huh?
Yeah, I do.
Well, buddy boy, I want you to get excited here because we're going to take you here with the first pick in the draft. I got to go back in the draft room here. I got the head coach. Want to talk to you, brother?
That was John Dorsey with Baker Mayfield. We go around the NFL right now. Keep it locked. We're going to give you a chance to go to Stern Talk tomorrow. Be listening for the cue to call. You're going to be here at the Verizon Artist Lounge with free food, free drinks, and an exclusive film study that you can't get anywhere else. Santa Claus is walking around the halls right now.
I just saw Santa Claus.
I think he's enjoying himself a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. Not really sure if I want my kids sitting in that guy's lap right there, but
trust me, you don't.
Yeah, I can tell. I mean, I would not. That would, if that were a mall Santa Claus, I am damn sure not getting
going to another mall.
They are going somewhere else. Baker Mayfield's wife, she has some beef with a media type. It's actually someone I know. I actually like this media type. Mary Kay Cabot.
Oh, yeah.
Who covers the Cleveland Browns.
Been doing
she does
it
a
for
very good job.
Probably close to 25 years.
She does a very good job out there. She asked Freddie Kitchens about the shirt that he wore the other day and reset for the loopholes what the shirt said that Freddie Kitchens wore, J-Lo.
Pittsburgh started it. Isn't that what it said, Figgy?
Yep.
And talking and referencing the Myles Garrett uproar.
Yes. This is what Baker Mayfield's wife said when she was watching the press conference, I guess, and Mary Kay Cabot asked Freddie Kitchens about the shirt. This is her on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this the focus of your questions? Much more to focus on than that at Mary Kay Cabot. So she edited her. She was going at her.
Yeah.
Going at Mary Kay Cabot.
That's kind of silly, isn't it?
It's childish, and it kind of shows that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree in the,
well,
in the
and
Mayfield
the other thing
household.
Is, you know, it happens a lot where people will pick one little moment in what may be 10, 15, 20 minutes, you know?
It's interesting you say that because Mary Kay Cabot responded, I asked exactly one T-shirt question after the game. I asked Baker what he thought of it, and he defended Kitchens, which I thought was pretty cool. He gave a great answer, saying, I've done much worse, funny, and struck the right notes. A fan then chimed in with Miss Mayfield and said sarcastically, what exactly do you care? Why does it matter? Kept pressing her. And she said, the fan said this, please, Miss Baker, enlighten all of us as to what the focus should be on. Questionable play calling, veterans missing practice, inability to get the ball to playmakers, inability to have guys coming off injury, and you know the playbook, poor clock management. Where should the focus be? Miss Mayfield wrote back, football in general would be a good start.
What is that? I mean, that football in general is what he was talking about. Clock management, knowing the playbook, all those other things, inability to score in those moments. I think she just was, you know, she didn't want to have any of that. Even though Baker Mayfield has never really, I mean, has he said anything, you know, that they shouldn't ask those questions about that? Or
I mean, he's gotten pissed off at media types.
Yeah, but not
year.
For this particular thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think that, it's not like a stay in your lane thing. I think if it were a female athlete and a husband was doing it, I would say the exact same thing. But when you have a controversial guy like Baker Mayfield, who probably needs to grow up a little bit when it comes to dealing with media, when it comes to the way that he handles himself, I mean, it's been pretty obvious. You probably don't want to add fuel to the fire. I mean, he's got enough fuel in his own arsenal to be able to do it. So you probably don't need to do it. And if you are going to do it, don't sound stupid doing so, because they asked one question about a shirt. It was a talking point. It's not like there was eight questions. There were a lot of football questions. They asked one question about a shirt. She's not really doing her husband any favors.
Why would Kitchens wear that shirt to media events and in front of the media if he didn't want to have it talked about.
It's just weird.
Yeah.
It's
and just, it wasn't – one question about
that. You
know
that. This is going to get him fired.
Everything else
this
was,
is what will get him fired.
No, I don't think so.
This shirt is going to be – like, this is a representation of a guy. It's already evident that he doesn't know what to do when the game's going on and during the week in practice, and he's in over his head, and he never should have been hired in the first place, mm-hmm. and it was a joke that he was. But doing stupid stuff like that, that's some middle school slash high school stuff.
Yeah.
This right here should be the nail in the coffin of Freddie Kitchens being one and done with
the
Browns.
Didn't have a problem with it, but I could see where some would. You talked about it yesterday. But back to this point, I mean, isn't this what they call a subtweet, basically?
It's not
she wasn't even mentioned.
No, she mentioned her.
No, I'm talking about Mary Kay Cabot was just talking about the shirt, asking the question.
Yeah, is that a press conference?
And then she weighs in like out of the blue.
Yeah, it's not a subtweet if you add them.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, if you at them, man, the OG's got a long way to go.
No. I mean, I know what a subtweet is. I'm talking about how she just injected herself into it. It was like a subtweet.
Yeah,
it's like she just injected herself into that story when no one was even talking to her.
That's dipping into the Kool-Aid without knowing the flavor.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, some would say all Kool-Aid tastes the same. Some say that, Figgy.
No, all Skittles taste the same.
Some say all Kool-Aid tastes the same too.
No, Kool-Aids have different flavors. Skittles don't.
We add all the different flavors together, though.
Oh.
Why does Santa Claus keep walking by staring at us?
I have no idea.
Like, go away.
He's kind of creepy, to be honest.
He's creeping the hell out of me. He looks like the movie Trading Places, that drunk-ass Santa, whenever Dan Aykroyd turns into Santa.
Or Bad Santa.
Yeah, well, Bad Santa's cool.
Bad Santa's the best.
Bad Santa could come in here and kick it. That's one of the most underrated comedies.
Oh, I love that movie.
Absolutely hilarious. Mm-hmm. Pats waived kicker Kai Forbath after one game.
That's
this
it.
This was after they cut Nick Cole. They'd seen enough, so they're going to be on to their fourth kicker of the season. Gardner Minshew, we're going around the NFL, named the Jags starter for the remainder of the season. Don't know what they're going to do with Nick Foles, but they are not in a good situation.
They are in a horrible situation. I think they're going to do what we were talking about earlier. I think Minshew's going to be the quarterback, new coach, new general manager, and no more Tom Coughlin. And Minshew's going to go. They were chanting his name in the stands, man.
They were. Minshew mania returns. We'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Jags. Packers played a bad weather game against the Giants. There was rain. There was snow. There was sleet. And Jamal Williams, running back for the Packers, he loves, and I mean loves, bad weather games, and I love Jamal Williams. Here's why.
They said mermaid. I just say mermaid activated. So as soon as the rain came, it felt good. As soon as it started snowing, it felt better. And then it went back to rain a little bit. So it was just like a good overall day of everything. Like one day I felt like SpongeBob for a minute, right? Then it started snowing. It felt like frozen. I was like, all right, here we go. Olaf time. Then it went back to raining. So then I felt like SpongeBob. You know what I mean? The Goofy Goober type. When he was drying up, and you know, he had that little drop of like that before he turned into, you know what I mean? That's how I felt.
I know. What in the world? I hate cold weather games if I'm in the elements. I'm sure when
but I like watching them on TV.
When you're playing it's a little different.
The snow games are nice on TV, though.
No, they're gorgeous. TV networks love snow games. They absolutely love them because everybody tunes in. The numbers are higher. Numbers are significantly higher for snow games, television numbers. Did you know that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But how do these people tailgate in those games?
I'll tell you,
imagine tailgating in cold-ass weather like that?
Barrel fires, man.
Ugh.
Right, Figgy?
Just sounds
Cleveland's
miserable.
A great place for cold games.
Yeah, it's fun.
Every time I've been there.
No way.
You got to drink more.
You drink more, drink schnapps, drink whatever. But I remember the first time I went to Cleveland to watch a game, it was horribly cold. It was just incredibly cold. And I started walking to the stadium from the media parking, and you see all these barrel fires everywhere. And they're right on the street, just right on the trash barrel.
I tailgated in Cleveland once, but I didn't snow.
Yeah. It was cold.
Man, I just can't get down.
Coldest game I ever did was Buffalo. I told you that story.
Yeah, you broke your key.
Yeah, I broke my key in the rental car door.
It's funny. They do the pregame show outside, too.
Man.
Cold and all, yep.
Man.
Just got to bundle up.
They just don't care.
That wind.
They just don't care.
You can have that wind.
And that's downtown, too.
You
right
can
off
have
Lake
that
Erie.
Wind, man.
Kirk Cousins now 0-8 Monday Night Football. Last night, the Vikings
you
fall
like
to the Seattle Seahawks. I like it. I don't mind it. I don't. Whatever. Whatever happens with Kirk Cousins is what it is. There was a play in the game where Russell Wilson had the ball batted out of his hand, and then he batted it in the air. Minnesota caught it and took it to the house. This is what Booger McFarland said when that happened.
It is a bat, but it's a legal bat because he bats it backward towards his own end line. And then, of course, his teammate recovers it and runs for a score.
Well, these are the type of plays that historically have gone against the Vikings. The Minneapolis Miracle. Plays that are fluke plays that went against this team. I'm sure Vikings fans are saying it's about time we get one of these plays to go our way.
Yeah, there's one slight problem with his statement there. You know what that slight problem is?
Yeah, Minnesota actually benefited from the miracle. Stephon Diggs caught the ball and took it to the end zone against the New Orleans
Saints.
Isn't it
one of the
top
10
to the NFC Championship?
Top 10 plays in NFL history?
Yes, it was the final play of the game. It was against the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was very, very, like, it was... Gosh, I just don't. I don't.
How do you forget that so soon?
I don't know. You go so in depth into it. Like, mm-hmm. they've had some bad luck. Yeah. You mentioned the Hail Mary from Roger Staubach to Drew Pearson.
Yep.
And Gary Anderson missing his first field goal in the NFC Championship against the Atlanta Falcons, which, by the way, I really wanted to see the Vikings face the Broncos in that Super Bowl. That sucked because you knew that the Broncos were going to tap the brakes off of the Falcons. I just wanted to see Randy Moss, Chris Carter, all them, Robert Smith. In that Super Bowl, did not happen.
Man, that was a good team.
But the Minnesota Miracle, like, come on, man. John Randall, too.
Mm-hmm.
Had a good squad, man. Dwayne Rudd. I could keep going if you want to.
Yeah,
no,
they were legit.
I won't do that. But, man, Dennis Green, had a chance, man. It's all right, buddy.
What
it's
team right. could you name the most starters off of?
Anywhere,
NFL team.
Anywhere.
Like which one? Like
90s Cowboys.
You can name every starter.
Yeah, for sure.
You want to test this? And offense, go.
Offense, Troy Aikman, Daryl Johnston, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin, Kevin Williams, Jay Novacek, Eric Williams, Mark Tuinay. There was Ray Donaldson, and there was also Stepnoski because Stepnoski left for the Oilers. And then you had Kevin Gogan at right guard, or Nate Newton too, but Kevin Gogan was in that mix too with the offensive line. And then you had Kevin Martin returning punts. Defense, do we have to do this anymore? Have I proven myself?
No, I want to know if you know all 22.
Charles Haley, Leon Lett, Tony Tolbert. I believe Jimmy Jones was in the mix, too. You had Chad Hennings coming off the bench to provide some depth on the D-line. You had Kevin Smith on the first one, and then Dion mm-hmm. came in, and he originally got thrown back in the mix. Larry Brown was in there. As well, James Washington was a safety, probably should have been MVP of the Super Bowl one year. You had Thomas Everett, who left for the Tampa Bay Bucks, and then Darren Woodson got into the mix. The linebackers, you had Ken Norton on the first one, but then he went to the 49ers. You had Robert Jones. I keep going all day. Chris Boniol was kicking. I mean, look, dude, I'm pretty good at this. Lynn Elliott was actually the first one. Chris Boniol was a little bit later.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I can do that. Easily. I could do it with the 49ers, too. I could do it with the 49ers that same year. I could do it with the 49ers the next year after that.
All right, give me the 49ers.
Easily.
Just offense.
Just offense?
Yeah.
John Taylor, Jerry Rice, Brent Jones at tight end, William Floyd at fullback, Ricky Waters at running back. You had Steve Young at quarterback. You had Wallace up front with that big-ass helmet. I've proven myself enough.
You didn't do the whole offense.
We go defense. We go Tim McDonald.
Mm-hmm.
We go Merton Hanks with his long-ass neck. Deion Sanders, the best year he ever had. Eric Davis, number 25. Ken Norton joined them after that. Dana Stubblefield. It was a stacked squad. It's a stacked squad, John. We can do this all day.
I'm John Lopez. That's the Rain Man.
In the Loop continues next. Let's talk about the Houston Texans. You know you can name their starting lineup. Let's talk about the Denver Broncos. Is it time to overlook the Denver Broncos, or are we making a mistake? That's next. What's the definition of insanity? I feel like I've heard it like 16,000 times.
Doing the same thing and expecting a different result.
Well, call me insane.
You're crazy, man.
Because I'm going to look past this Broncos team.
You're
going to preview the Titans? Can we preview the Titans game?
No, we can't preview the Titans.
I almost want to just do like a hype thing for the Titans, because that's the next time I'm excited about a Texans game, and that my full attention and my full fear, for lack of a better term, is going to be when they face the Titans. Broncos ain't doing it for me, John. And is there a chance I come in on Monday with my tail between my legs like I had before? There is a chance. It's the NFL. It's a week-to-week league. Anything can happen. It's hard to win in the NFL. It's a week-to-week thing. It's an 8-8 league. You know all the cliches. Mm-hmm. You hear them a lot. But I'm looking past the Denver Broncos, John. I don't see any way that this Texans team, with the talent they have, can lose to Drew bleeping Locke, making his second start at home in front of a crowd that just experienced their second win in franchise history and first win in the Bill O'Brien era against New England Patriots.
I just don't see how you can be that. Well, let me rephrase, because I'm confident. I'm confident in the Houston Texans. I really, our listeners know that. I mean, I've really, really been in on this Texans team, and certainly they've had their bad moments. You know, they've certainly, you know, we've turned on them once or twice, but by and large, I have confidence in this team. But that's why I'm saying this. This game will really kind of galvanize that thought, because I've seen this team too many times. Kind of. Just when you're in, you know, they do something to push you away again, and I've seen it too many times. It's happened three times this year, twice for sure this year, where they've had a really good win, not just a win in the NFL, but a really good win against the Chargers on the road, come back lose, against the Chiefs on the road, come back lose, and not only just lose, but you're talking about, you know, the quarterback Kyle Allen was in his second start on the road here. It was either first or second start. I think it was
the second
start of the season here, and it beats the Texans. So that's why I think I'm confident the Texans are going to win this game. I think if they do it, you know, methodically, workmanlike, just take care of the Broncos and move on the next week, I think that would be impressive to me. Not as impressive as beating the Patriots or the Chargers or the Chiefs, but impressive that they responded to a really big, good emotional win with just a boom. We're gonna go ahead and knock you guys out of the building and take care of our business and move on to Tennessee. They don't do that very often. In fact, it's hard to remember when the Texans have backed up a really good win with a good solid win over a team they're supposed to be.
This team's terrible, though.
Yeah, and they've lost to teams like that. Yeah, they're 4-8.
They're hot garbage.
They're 4-8, and the Texans have lost to teams like that after a big win.
At this point in the season, win. Like, at this point in the season, they'll take care of their business here, John. You just got to line up.
Oh, my God. You just said that?
I'm 1-0 in just show up games. I'm 1-0 in just show up games. I said that against the
Jets. Just toss your jerseys out there?
I said that against the Jets last year. I'm 1-0 in just show up games.
Just toss your old
jerseys. I'm this close to making it a just show up game if you're gonna keep questioning.
I'm not questioning the Texans. I'm confident they're win. All I know is that it would be almost like an endorsement.
All I know is this, John. There's a lot of times when we turn on this microphone on a Reaction Monday, and there's a lot of stuff that we can take away from a win or a loss.
Mm-hmm.
If they win this game, I'm not going to come here and feel any different about them. So does this mean that you're expecting them to not show up? Like,
no.
Just because of the past? Like, are you expecting that?
No, I'm expecting them to win. Just like I expected them to win against the Panthers. Just like I expected them to win.
Christian McCaffrey ain't walking through that door, J-Lo.
I understand that. Just like I expected them to win, you know, against the Colts after the Chiefs win was so impressive. That's my point. I'm confident in this team. I want them to back it up with that endorsement. Like, yeah, we're good at really emotional, important games where we're playing for our coach and we're playing on primetime. But you know when we're also good is when we're not really that interested. You know, when we just kind of do it out of because we're that much better. That, to me, would be a great way to back up last week's win.
I'm going to come in here and I'm going to say on to Tennessee. No, I'm serious. It will be the quickest on to the next team we've ever had. Usually we wait till Tuesday to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Once the Broncos are done, I'm going to start the show at 10 a.m. talking about the Titans.
No, you're not.
That's how little respect I have for this Broncos team. That's how little respect I have for the job that John Elway's done. And Drew Locke?
Drew Locke?
Are you kidding me? Drew Locke is starting? Like, get out of here. I do fear Sutton, though. I think Sutton is a good receiver. He had one highlight reel grab the other day. I think he was in You Got Moss yesterday on Monday Night Countdown on ESPN. So Sutton is a guy at SMU that's got a hell of a lot of talent that I think could provide some problems for the Texans. Philip Lindsay, running back, a little bit of a scat back type. Don't really fear him, but if you are looking for one guy to fear, Cortland Sutton would probably be the guy. It's also the return of Kareem. So you know they're going to be asking J.J. about
Von
Kareem.
Miller.
Kareem, he's pretty good.
You're not impressed?
He's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Has he been playing?
Yeah.
What's he been doing this year? What are Von Miller's stats? He hasn't been very good, right?
I don't think he's
been. Were they talking about almost trading him?
Yes, I did remember that, but I don't think he's been awful. He just hadn't been himself, MVP self. Well, I mean, so
they've just kind of fallen apart.
Yeah.
You know, since the post Peyton Manning thing. So Von Miller's just in like a little bit of a weird place.
What he's in a business decision mode.
What does he got?
Well, I mean, he's got he's only got what? Let me look at the season stats here.
I hate when we do this. It's my fault.
Six sacks. Six sacks, eight tackles for loss.
He might just sit on the sidelines. He's
making business decisions right now.
Yeah, he's checked out. Let's go to the line, 713-572-4610. Am I making a mistake? I might be, but, oh well, I'm looking past Denver. Let's go to Tanner. Tanner, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Real quick, I want to give OG his props. Y'all remember I called in about a week and a half ago talking about how the Texans were covering over their win totals? As a sort of a validation for O'Brien doing a good job.
Oh, yeah.
Like Tuesday before Thanksgiving. You're right, OG. You hit it on the head. They do put those numbers based on public perception and which way they'll get money to flow. So shout out to you. You understand the game. But still, it's a good barometer.
Sure.
With that said, quick story about the cold weather. So I played call. I'm from here. I'm from Richmond Rosenberg. OG, I actually know some people that know a couple of your kids. Good people. But I played college football up in New York, and we were playing a team that had Josh Norman on it, and a big cold front came through that day. It was like 31 and raining to sleep. You know, one of those northeastern days. So I'm playing tight end fullback, and I run a couple routes out to the flats, and I go body up Norman pretty good and dump him on a play right into the wet grass or turf.
I'm gonna have to see the tape on that. I know you got it. Send it to me. I need to see that tape at Landry Locker.
I got Khalil Mack tape too. But so after that play, he gets up. He's like, hey, big dog, look, man, it's nasty out here. You don't mess with me. I ain't going to make a tackle. I promise you. And I was like, what? This is Josh Norman telling me this. And I said, yeah, okay. Well, later on, we didn't really block him anymore because I told the receivers, I said, hey, go up to the safety. Josh ain't trying to play right now. And then what do you know? The next day on the film, this boy, Josh Norman, was whoop-de-dooing every time we ran the rock at him. Every damn time.
I don't blame him.
Business decisions, man.
Not much has changed. Yeah. Business decisions in cold weather. You don't want to play in cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. You don't want to. Sleds, don't even look that fun. Just stick to the rollerblades, you know?
Oh, sleds. Yeah, what are you talking about?
Would you rather ride a sled or ride some rollerblades?
You know, that's a little known fact about me. I've never really learned how to roller skate or skate. You know how to skate?
Yeah.
I've ice skated.
I'm not like graceful.
Is this bizarre?
I hate ice skating.
This is bizarre.
I don't feel in control of my feet in ice skating.
I kind of want to go skating with you now.
Tell me how weird this is. I can't roller skate or rollerblade, but I ice skate. And I'm not, trust me, I'm not.
I hate ice skating.
Like,
me
you
too.
Know, a speed skater out there. But I guess because they're so tight on your leg or your feet.
Nah, those are comfy. They're not tighter than ice skates.
No. I'm saying because they're so tight, ice skates,
oh.
I can feel it better or whatever. I can actually ice skate more than the other thing.
Rollerblading's nice. Although I haven't done it in like 15 years. I don't know why I'm acting like I'm like a professional.
Nah, I've never learned how to do that. But ice skating, you would think it would be harder, and that's the one I do.
Let's go to Austin. Austin, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Dude, you can't be angering the football gods.
Come on, man. The football gods don't care about
Denver.
See,
the true Texans fans understand,
Austin,
right?
The football fans don't give a damn about Denver. Denver doesn't even count this year. They're 4-8. They're wasted. They're already planning vacations.
Bro, my mom bought an Astros hat to celebrate the Astros winning the World Series before Game 6.
Well, that's good. That's a good purchase.
What happened? How did that turn out?
It did not turn out well at all. We had Verlander and Cole, and we lost both games.
Yeah, I was at Game 7.
Hey, don't worry about the football game. They don't care about Denver.
They don't care about Denver. Drunk John Elway has ruined any hope for football gods. The football gods ain't punishing anything. The Texans are going to win this one, and then we can look ahead to 2 out of 3 games with Tennessee. And then maybe you can convince me to worry about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because they can pass the rock. But Drew Lock ain't coming in RG and beating Deshaun Watson. You can write that.
I'm not saying he is.
You can write that in Sharpie on your
forehead. I want to see. It's almost like this is an eye test game. If the Texans win, let's say the Texans win 31-30 on a last second field goal, I can pretty much assure you, you know, that won't be a real impressive win. You know, even though they'll win, because they will have had to kick a last second field goal, they will have given up 30 points. You know, et cetera, et cetera. But if the Texans take a double-digit lead into halftime, control early, double-digit lead at halftime, win by 16 to 20 points, 30 to 10, whatever it is, that's what I want to see. Paint it by numbers. Just go step by step, dispatch the Broncos.
What?
Dispatch the Broncos.
Did you realize how corny you just got?
Why?
Paint it by numbers.
Yeah.
Step by step. Yeah. Let's dispatch the Broncos.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be impressive to
Sounds
me.
Like a Russell Wilson speech. You hear him mic'd up yesterday, by the way?
It's the worst.
Good Lord, what a
talk about someone who
is.
Knows that he's mic'd up.
Oh, my God. I see you, baby.
Yeah, every time. That's how you run the rock.
He threw that one touchdown. I see what you did there. Gosh. OG John Lopez, Landry
that's
Locker,
how you run
Figgy
the rock.
Fig with you. Sports Radio 610. Two things that need to happen in the AFC South. And we're going to pass it off to Fudge next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.